B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah Davov. We're going to start on Daf Hei Omud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom of the Omud. In the previous sugya, the Gemara is trying to determine and establish what's the source that Sukkah has to be 10 tfachim high. The airspace between the schach and the floor has to be a minimum of 10 tfachim. And the Gemara suggested that we learn out from Orin v'Kapoiris. And that was a long Gemara starting on Daf Dalad Omud Beis. And then the Gemara on Daf Hei Omud Beis said, it's not Orin v'Kapoiris, it's the difference between the top of the Kapoiris and the wings of the Kruvim. Okay, but this is all based on the fact that the Orin itself was 9 Tfachim high. But that's only true according to Reb Meir. According to Reb Yehuda, that every Amma was 5 Tfachim, then we have an issue that the Orin itself, which was 1.5 Ammis, was only 7.5 Tfachim high, plus one tefach for the kapires, so that's only 8.5 tefachim, and we're short of a tefach and a half. So the Gemara said that this is based on that Rabbi Yehuda learns that the height, the minimum height of a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim, is learnt out from the fact that the minimum size, the minimum height of any wall of a halachically defined mechitza is 10 tefachim, and if you don't have 10 tefachim, then it's not considered that you're covering, that the schach is over an entity, an area which is called a rishus, and therefore, because it doesn't have a mechitza, and therefore it's posel. That's what the Gemara says, that it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, hilchas agamiri lo, that he learns out from Aloha l'moishim Yisinai, that Domer Pchia Bar Ashi Omar Rav Shiurin Chatzitzin Umechitzin. This was said in the name of Rav. That three areas of halacha. Number one is Shiurim, which is the measurements of many Isurim in the Torah. Number two, Chatzitzin, some of the details regarding Chatzitza, which is if something separates between a person that has to go into the mikveh and the water around him, and mechitzin is some of the halachas regarding walls. Those are halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Gemara says that Rav that said mechitzin halacha l'moshe misinai, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that includes this concept that the minimum size of mechitza is 10 tfachim, and from there we learn that schach, a sukkah, which is less than 10 tfachim, is possible. And now the Gemara is going to, so to speak, digress from our Gemara in Sukkah, and in today's Daf, Davov, we're going to learn more about Shi'urim, Chatzitzin, and Mechitzin. Says the Gemara, Shi'urim, you Rav said that Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, we learn the different measures for different Isurim, and different mitzvahs, and different things in the Torah, each one has a different measure, you're saying that that was accepted by Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, Doiraisaninu, it's a Pasuk in the Torah. Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Eretz Chita Usoira, referring to Eretz Israel, is the land of wheat and barley, the gefen, the grapevines, Uteino, and the figs, the rimoin and pomegranates, Eretz Zeis Shemen Udvash, it's a land where there are olives which produce oil and honey, which is referring to the dates that produce the honey. So, and what do we see from this Pasuk? This Pasuk tells us the seven fruits, or the seven things that grow in Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael is praised by them. What's that got to do with Shi'urim? V'omer v'chonin kol ha-posuk hazeh le-shi'urim ne'emor. The seven things mentioned in this posuk are each defining a measure of different halachas. Chita, the first thing mentioned, which is the wheat. What halacha is dependent on wheat? Le-beis ha-menuga. If somebody goes into a home which has tzoras in it, ditnan, we learnt in a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Maseches Negoim, Hanichnas lebeis hamenuga, if somebody goes into a home where there's a tzoras. V'keilov al kseifov, v'sandalov v'taboisov b'yodoi. If he's holding, he's not wearing his clothes, he's not wearing his shoes, he's holding his clothes in his hands, or some clothing, and he's holding his shoes, he's holding his rings, he's not wearing them, he's holding them. Hu v'hein t'mein miyad. This the Pasuk says, V'abo el abayis yitmo, anyone who goes into the home of which has tzoras becomes tomei, and this includes any items that go in with him. However, hoyo lovush, Kalov, if he was wearing his clothes, he wasn't holding his clothes, he was wearing them. But Sandalov Baraglov, he was not holding his shoes, he was wearing his shoes. But Aboisov Betzboisov, he wasn't holding his rings, he was wearing his rings. Then it's got the halacha of a begodim, and hu tamei miyad, a person who goes into the home, into a house which has got tzaras, is tamei straight away. As it says in the pasuk, habo al habayis yitmo. Vehein, however, the things he's wearing, tahirim, they remain tahir, not for too long. Ad she yishe, until he waits long enough in the home of the tzaras, bikdei achilas pras, in order to eat the amount which is the typically eaten in a single suda, which is called half a loaf. A whole loaf is what you need for Eruv. We learned about it in Maseches Eruvin. And half of such a loaf, which is the amount that you eat in one meal, is called a pras. And the amount of time it takes to eat half a loaf, if you wait that amount of time in the home which has tzaras, then the clothes that you're wearing will become tummy. And it's talking about eating half a loaf of paschitim, of bread which is made of wheat, v'loy pasoirim, and not that of barley, because it takes longer to eat that half a loaf of barley bread. The amount of time you have to wait in the home with tzaras in order for the clothes to become tummy is for paschitim. And not only that, mesev, it's got to be that he's the amount of time it takes to eat it when you're reclining. When a person reclines, he's engaged primarily and exclusively only with eating, and he's not busy and engaged in anything else, which means that the amount of time it takes to eat this loaf will be that little bit less. Va'oichel beliftan, and we're talking about that he's eating this half a loaf with dips, and that's how long it takes. So you see here that the concept of chito mentioned in the pasuk is the measure of time that it takes until the clothes of somebody that is being worn by somebody who went into the house of tzaras, that if he waits long enough to eat this half a loaf of wheat bread, that's when his clothes are going to become tomei. Sa'ira, what halacha is dependent on barley? Tetnan, we learned in the Mishnah in Maseches Arlois, etzem k'sa'ira. That if you have a bone from a dead person, then if it's as small as a kernel of barley, then metame b'maga or b'masa. Then if somebody either touches it or moves it, he's going to become tummy. Ve'ine metame b'oihal, however, it's not a large enough measure of a corpse that if it's under a roofing, that it's going to be metame b'oihal, which means anything else under the same roof is also going to be tummy. That not. In order for that to happen, you need to have either the shedra, which is the spine, or the gulgoilus, or the skull, which is whole, or most of the limbs. So that's what you learn out from Sa'ira. Geffen, what do we learn out from the grapevine? Kedei revius yayin lenozir. We know that a geffen, which is a liquid, it's wine, and the measure of wine is a quarter of a loig of wine. That is there's halachas of nozir. We know that a nozir is not allowed to drink wine. He's not allowed to consume anything that comes from a grapevine, certainly not from the grapes. And these are discussed at length in Maseches Nozir, a whole Masechta, which we're going to learn about that. And one of the halachas, or some of the halachas of nozir, are dependent on the shiur, on the measure of a revius of wine. And Rashi brings that here. And again, we're going to learn about this in Maseches Nozir, that there are certain things that are not allowed to be eaten, solids. Normally, a revius of wine is a liquid measure. And solids, normally, most halachas of solids are dependent on a kazayis, as we're going to see soon in the Gemara. But however, there's one opinion in the Gemara, which Rashi brings here, that the charatzanim, that means the pips, the peels, and other edible parts of the vine, the amount that a nozer has to consume, that he's transgressed his nazirus, is the size of a revius of yayin. How can you measure a solid with a liquid measure? Yeah, you take a cup filled with a revius, and you put these solids in until you displace the revius, and that's how many solids. And what's the difference whether you displace a revius of wine or a revius of water? Yeah, because the revius of wine is more solid, it's more dense than water, and there's more of the bulge on top of the cup that doesn't spill over, and therefore the amount of solids you're going to have to put into this cup to actually displace a revius, that to have a revius of wine pouring out of a cup, is going to need more solids than the amount of solids you would have needed to displace that same measure of water. And that's what it says here. Gefen is k'dei revi'is yayin lenozer. Ta'eno, talking about the figs, which halacha, which measure do we learn from the figs? K'gregeris lotzas, Shabbos, the amount that you carry, a food item that gets carried on Shabbos, and that it's considered a significant act of carrying, hoitzah, which is taking from one entity to another. We learnt about this in Maseches Shabbos. It's the size of a gregeris, the size of a dried fig. Less than that is not considered a significant act of carrying something from one place to the next. He won't be chayiv. Rimoin, what do we learn from a pomegranate? Titnan, we learnt in a Mishnah, in Kalim, kol klei balabatim. There are two different types of utensils. There are those used by homeowners, called balabatim, and there are those used by uman. Those are used by the professionals. Often klei uman are those kalim that are sold. Either way, that a keli, which is called a klei uman, as soon as it's got the smallest hole in it, it loses its status of a utensil. It's not usable anymore. However, klei balabais, those utensils that are used at home, so even if it's got a small hole in, you can still use it to contain something which is larger than the hole in it. So if you've got a small hole, the size of an olive, for example, you can still use the utensil to hold pomegranates. But soon the Mishnah says that the kol klei balabatim shiuram karimoinim. Once you have a hole which is measured by the size of pomegranates, at that point the utensil loses its status as a utensil entirely. How many pomegranates and what size pomegranates, those are discussed at length in Maseches Kelim. Eretz Zeis Shemen Udvash. What do we learn from the part of the Pasuk that speaks about the olives, those olives that produce oil? Eretz Shekol Shi'ureo Kazesim. All the Shi'urim, all the measures to do with the land are all measured by a Kazayis. For example, Rashi brings here Tumas Meis, Issa Nevela, Issa Chelev, Dam, Pigul, Noisor, Tomei, Gidanoshe. Rashi brings a list of those Isurim that are measured by a Kazayis. Asks the Gemara, Kol Shiure, are you telling me that all the measures of that we know of Isurim are all measured by the size of an olive? Can you entertain that thought? We just saw now that the amount of bread you eat before the clothes get tummy when going into the house of a metzora, in a house which has tzoras on it, is not kazayis, it's eating a pras of chita. The amount that of a bone of a dead person is not kazayis, it's kazayira, etc. We saw a whole load of halachas that are not dependent on kazayis. Says the Gemara, Elo'ema, what we meant to say is, Sheroiv Shi'ureo Kazaisim. Most of the measurements that are measured are that of a Kazais. Dvash, what do we learn from the dates, which is what produces the honey? Kukoiseves Hagasob Yema Kippurim, as we learned at length in the last parak of Yuma, that the amount that you have to eat on Yom Kippur to be Chayev is a large date. Alma. So what do we see from all this? We see here that Rav Chanin explained this whole pasuk, a pasuk in the Torah, to do with Shi'urim. So we see Da'iraisin in who all the Shi'urim are min ha-Torah. So how could we say in the name of Rav, Shi'urim chatzitin ha-mechitzin, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, the Shi'urim are not halacha l'moshe m'sinai, it's explicit in Torah shebichtav. It's written in the pasuk. Answers the Gemara, no. V'tizbara? Can you really understand it that way? Shi'urim miksivi? Does it say in the Torah that chita regarding going into the Beis HaMenuga in the Pasuk in the Torah that speaks about Tzoras, going into a home that has Tzoras, doesn't say there that it depends on whether you stay in there for the amount it takes to eat half a loaf of wheat bread, and nor does it say in the parasha of Tumas Meis that doesn't say explicitly Sa'ira. So it's just, these are hinted to, alluded to in this pasuk, that each of the things mentioned in this pasuk have some measure that something is measured with them. But you can say it's explicit, it's a deraisa. No. Shi'urin miksivi, does it say the shi'urim in the Torah? Elohil chasaninu, the truth is like Rav said, it's halach l'moshe m'sinai. Ukra, and this pasuk asmachta ba'alma, it's just something to lean on, it's something that now that we know that halach l'moshe m'sinai, all these shi'urim, then we know that this pasuk, interestingly enough, seems to allude to those shiurim. So that's as far as the measurements are concerned. And now as far as chatzitzim is concerned, that there's not allowed to be a chatzitza, a separation between the person's body, his skin, and the water around him when he's going into the mikveh. You want to say, you said in the name of Rav, that it's halacha l'moshe misinai. Doiraisin, it was learned out from explicit pasuk. Tichsiv, it says in the pasuk, v'rochatz es besoroi b'mayim v'toyer, which means that your whole body has to be submerged in the water, has to be washed, so to speak, in the water. And we learn from there, that there should be no separation between the person's body and the water. So you see, we learn from an explicit posuk, the halachas of chatzitza. So how can you say chatzitza is halacha l'moshe misinai? Answers the Gemara, ki asoy hilchasa l'saroi. There's a detail regarding the hair, the chatzitza in the hair, and that we don't learn from the posuk that says v'rochas etz besori b'mayim. The posuk is talking about his flesh has to be come into direct contact with the water. There mustn't be a chatzitza. But who told you that regarding the hair there's also such an issue? And that we learn from Aloch Lameshi Misinai. Kederabba Barbarchon, the Omerabba Barbarchon, there's aloch about chatzitza of hair, that nimo achas, if you take a single hair, kshura, and you tie it to itself, you just knot up one hair, chitzetzes, then it's a tight knot, and the water cannot go between the inside, the middle of the knot, and therefore that part of the hair will not be touched by the water. Sholish, however, if you take three hairs and you knot them together, the texture of the hair does not allow them to become a tight knot, and the water will be able to go between inside the knot. And therefore it won't be a chatzitza. Shtayim ein yodea. What Rabbi Abrachona said, that if there's two hairs are knotted together, he doesn't know whether it will be a chatzitza or not. So these details, that hair, that the concept of hair is also has the halachas of chatzitza, that it's halach l'moshe misinai. Says the Gemara, sa'aroi nami do'irai seninu. Even this, that hair has halachas of chatzitza, is also learned from the pasuk. The chsiv it says in the pasuk, the same pasuk we mentioned before, it's got an extra word, es, v'rochatz es besori b'mayim. It doesn't say v'rochatz besori, they should wash his flesh in water. It means it should be es besori. S, we know the word S always includes something which is annexed to. S had tofel abasori. Umainu, what is annexed to the flesh? Sorry, that's his skin, that's his hair. So you see that the concept of rochatz b'mayim, which means it needs to be totally submerged in water, with no chatzitza, does not only apply to basori, it also applies to S, to the hair, which is annexed to the flesh. So again, we see that even regarding the hair, chatzitza is a pasuk in the Torah. So how could you, Rav, say on Daf Heyamud Beis at the bottom that it's halacha l'moshe misinai? Answers the Gemara, ki asoy hilchasa l'kad Rabbi Yitzchok. It's true that min haTorah the concept of chatzitza applies, and it would seem that it applies not only to the flesh but also to the hair. However, there's certain details that Rabbi Yitzchok is about to tell us, that these details are not written explicitly in the pasuk, and we only know them halacha l'moshe misinai. D'omer Rabbi Yitzchok, dvar Torah, halacha according to halacha l'moshe misinai, and we wouldn't know this without the halacha l'moshe misinai. Then only if it's ruboy umakbid olav chaitzitz. When is it a chatzitza that invalidates the tvila? Is only if the chatzitza, if the separating, if whatever separates between the flesh or hair and the water is, number one, it's on most of his body, roiv, and not only that, it's got to be makbid alav, it's got to be something which you're about to remove, it's something that bothers you, it's something which you do not want there. And if it's also roiv, and also it's makbid, then min haTorah it's a chatzitza. She'eino makbid alav, however, even if it's on most of his body, but he doesn't mind that it's there, then min haTorah, according to the halacha l'moshe misinai, ein chotzitza, it will not be a chatzitza. V'gozru al rubot, only midrabbanon, they said that if it's on most of his body, or on most of his hair, then she'eino makbid, that even if it's, he's not makbid on it, but since it's covering most of the area, then the chachomim said it's chotzitza, because it's similar to ruboy or makbid. They both covering most of his body. Mishum ruboy ha makbid. Val mi utoy ha makbid. And even if it's not covering most of his body, it's just on a small part, but the little bit that has the chatzitza, he's makbid, he's very particular, he doesn't want it there. Even if it's not covering most of his body, the Chachamim said it will be a chatzitza mishum rubeya makbid, because of the similarity between being makbid on roiv. If you're makbid, then the Chachamim said, even if it's just the miut, if it's the minority, it's chaitzitz. Asks the Gemara, v'ligzer nami al miutei she'enei makbid, even if it's also a miut, it's on a minority of his body, and is not bothered by the chatzitza. Why don't you say midrabbanon that also invalidates the tevila mishum miut hamakbid because of its similarity to either miut hamakbid inami mishum rubay she'enu makbid? Because we said that even a miut by miut hamakbid, we said the chachamim said was asa. Rubay she'enu makbid, the chachamim said it's asa. So miut she'enu makbid should also be asa, says the Gemara. No. He goof a gezeira, vanan nekem nigzer gezeira legzeira. The halach lemoshe Sinai says only ruboy umakbid. If it's also roiv, the majority, and also is makbid. Miut she'enu makbid has nothing in common with roiv hamakbid. Since it's got nothing in common with the original issa, the original chatzitza, therefore we're not geizer. It's true that the middle way, when it's got one of the issues, ruboy umakbid or miut, Rubay she'enu makbid, sorry, or miuta makbid, that's got one problem in each, then the Rabbanon said it's osa. But when you've got both issues, that it's also not roiv and also not makbid, then the Chachomim did not make the gezerah. So that's as far as we found the halacha l'moshe m'sinai b'chatzitzin. Last but not least is the mechitzin, the third area of halacha, which according to Rav on Daf Heyamud Beis is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. What is called mechitzin is halachas to do with the height of the walls. Hod Omron, it's like we said. What halacha do you learn? What halacha l'moshe m'sinai of mechitza is there? Like we saw in the Gemara, according to Rebbe Yehuda, who does not learn that the height of the walls of the sukkah have to be 10 tefachim from the orin, he has to learn it. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Says the Gemara, honichal Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, I can understand that the mechitza, which is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, is this halacha that the minimum size of a wall has to be 10 tefachim, and therefore schach, which has not got an airspace of 10 tefachim underneath it, is not kosher. Elo l'Rab Meir, but Rab Meir who learns the minimum height of a sukkah of 10 tefachim from the oroin, ma'ekel emeima, he doesn't need the halacha l'moshe m'sinai for that. So what's the halacha l'moshe m'sinai of mechitza? Says the Gemara, ki asoi hilcha, so what do I need the halacha for? The halacha l'moshe m'sinai for some other details of mechitzes, not for the minimum height. Only Rabbi Yehuda needs that. Rabbi Meir needs it, for example, for the concept of good. We've already learned about it a little bit before. There's a concept of good achis, good asik. We haven't learned about good achis yet. We've learned about good asik, which means when you extend a wall, if you've got virtually speaking a wall or part of a wall that we can virtually speaking extend it. That's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. V'lovud, which is a very classic halacha, that when something is less than 3 tefachim, it's as if it's closed, as if we disregard the distance. V'doifin akuma, we saw that if there's a wall which is too far away from the schach kosher, then if it's not 4 amos away, we can virtually see it as if it's a bent wall, as if the schach is reaching the top of the walls. So these halachas, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, continues the Gemara. We saw in our Mishnah that one of the halachas of sukkah is that there has to be a minimum of 3 walls. V'she'ein lo sholish tefanes, if there's no 3 walls, the sukkah is possible. Tana Rabbanon, we learned in a brisa. Shtayim kilchason ushlishis afilu tefach. The Tanakhama learn that for sukkah you need a minimum of 2 walls kilchason, which means that 2 walls each of the length of the minimum size sukkah, which we're going to assume is 7 tefachim. You need 2 walls each of 7 tefachim, plus the third wall, and the third wall it suffices if it's just 1 tefach. Reb Shimon says no. Shalosh kilchason, you need 3 walls that are each 7 tefachim long. Revius, and just the fourth wall afilu tefach, you can suffice with just a tefach. But Ma'akum Mifligi, what are they arguing about? So the Gemara is going to give a number of different explanations what would be behind this argument. So the Gemara, the first suggestion is as follows. Rabbanon sovri yesh eim lemasayras, Reb Shimon sova yesh eim lemikra. And this is a concept mentioned in many places in Shas, eim lemasayras, eim lemikra, which means, what's the aim of the mother? What's the most dominant way of learning psukim? The way that it's been written, or the way that it's pronounced. Sometimes a word is pronounced in plural form, even though when you actually read the word inside, you don't see plural. You could be forgiven for reading it as in the singular tense. What do we have here? It said we have in the Pasuk, Basukois. The Pasuk says, Basukois teishu shivas yomim. Basukois is written without a vav. Kol ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu basukois, again, Basukois is written without a vav. L'man yeidu doyroseichem ki basukois, this time is written with a vav. Hoyshavtis b'nei Yisrael b'etzioi som meretz Mitzrayim ani Hashem elikeichem. So you see there, you've got basukois, 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 twice written, the letters are written as if it's singular, and once basukois is written with a vav in plural. How many is that together? Harei kan arba is four. Basukas, if written without the correct pronunciation, just reading the letters, is one. Basukas is one. Basukos is two, altogether four. Dal chad legufei. One of these psukim you cannot learn for the number of walls, because it has to say sukos, otherwise you won't know what we're talking about. So one pasuk is not to be learned from at all. Poshaluhut losos. You're left with three of the four walls. Of three of the four walls means you need three walls. Shtayim kilchosam. Two of them have to be the correct size, which is the size of the minimum size sukkah. Vasoy hilchosan. Here we have halacha l'meishi m'Sinai. Besides what we saw before, that the halachas of mechitza include, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the height of the sukkah. According to everybody, good, lovud, and doifin akuma, the Gemara says now another halacha. This is the halacha that the third wall of a sukkah, of greya solishlishes, it minimizes the size of the third wall, vo'ikma tefach, and says that it's sufficient if it's just one tefach. That's according to the Rabbonon, who say that we read the psukim according to the Maseiros, to the way it was written. Reb Shimon sova yesh'im lemikra. Reb Shimon says, no, you have to see the way it's actually been written, the way it's pronounced, sorry, the way it's read. In all three times it says the word basukois, it's read sukois, not sukas, basukois, basukois, basukois. How many have you got? Harei kan shesh. You've got the reference to, so to speak, six times sukkah. Dal chad kro lugufei. One of those psukim has to say one pasuk in order to know what we're talking about. We're talking about a sukkah. So that takes two away. Poshuluhu arba, you're left now with four. Sholosh kilchoson, three of them have to be the size of the minimum size of a sukkah, seven tvachim. Asoy hilchoson, alach l'moshe m'Sinai dictates, v'greya sol revius, that it says that the fourth wall can be less than the hilchoson, less than the minimum size of a sukkah, v'ikmua tefach, and it's sufficient if it's just one tefach long. That's one way of explaining the machlekes, that the Tanakhama say shtayim kilchoson u'shlishis afilu tefach, and Reb Shimon says sholish kilchoson u'shlishis afilu tefach, that the argument is yesh eim lemikra or yesh eim lemesiris. V'iboisim, if you want another explanation, dekule al miyesh eim lemikra, everybody agrees that yesh eim lemikra, and that the pasuk basukois, basukois, basukois would have six. What are they arguing about? They're arguing, Marosova schoche boye krod. You need reference to the schach. So we said before, you've got six. One of the psukim you need legufei for itself, you're left with four. The question is, do we need a reference to the schach? If you do need reference to the schach, then of the four mentions of sukkah, one is schach, you're left with three walls. Aloch al-Meshim Sinai says that of the three walls, only two have to be the right size. The other opinion holds that the schach does not need a mention, and therefore you've got four available for the walls. Three of them have to be the full size, and one can be a tefach. Another suggestion, says the Gemara, everybody agrees, like we said before, yesh eim lemaseiros, which means you only have four to start with. Basukas, basukas, basukais. And this is what we're arguing about. One opinion says that of the four, one of them legufei you cannot learn from. You're left with three. Halach l'Moshe Sinai says that the third one you can manage with less than the full size wall, and a tefach is enough. Umarasova, the other opinion holds, ki asoy hilchase lahoisef. The Halach l'Moshe Sinai is coming to say not that one of the walls can be less, rather to add, besides for the three mentioned in the pasuk that need to be full length, there's an extra fourth wall of a tefach. V'iboy seima, it could be, says the Gemara, dekule alma ki asoy hilchase legareya. V'yesh eim l'maseiros, everybody says yesh eim l'maseiros, which means you have four to start with. And everybody says that Loch Ramushi Messina is coming to minimize a wall, not to add an extra wall. So how can that be? We said that you need one posuk l'gufei, so you're left just with three. And if you say l'garea, and you say yesh eim l'maseiros, everybody should hold that of the three, it's shtayim kilchosoi u'shlishes hafele tefach. No. Because what we're actually arguing is on this concept on whether the very fact that one of the psukim, the one that's telling us that we're talking about the sukkah, is till now we said that we cannot learn from there. I need it for itself, so I cannot darshan from it. No. There's an opinion that says you can, even though I need the word basukkahis to tell us what we're talking about. It's not superfluous. Nonetheless, it's an extra mention of sukkahis, so you can count it in to the count of the walls. And if so, even though yesh eim l'maseiros, you've got four, not three. You've got four, and the halacha l'maseiros m'sina is coming to be memai to say that the fourth wall is atfilu tefach. So Marasov Adarshim Tchilos, that what the opinion that says that you can darshan even from the one, the word sukkah that said initially says that there's three proper walls and one which is a tefach, or Marasov Adarshim Tchilos, Ein Darshim Tchilos. The other opinion says that the first posuk you cannot darshan, so you're only left with three. Of the three, it's Shtaim Kilchoson, Ushlishes Afilu Tefach. Rav Masna Omar, Rav Masna says different. Taimid Rav Shimon, the source that Shimon that says that you need to have three walls plus a fourth wall of a tefach, which means that initially you need or you need four walls in total. He learns it from the pasuk that says v'sukkah tia l'tzel yoimam, and this is a pasuk we've mentioned already previously on Daf Beis, that the sukkah will be for you for a shade in the day, mechayri from the heat, ulemachsa protection, ulemister and refuge, mizerem from the storm, or mimotor and from rain. And if you haven't got four walls, then you haven't got a protection from the rain, because the wind is going to push the rain into the sukkah, and therefore, according to Reb Shimon, you have a base of four walls, not a base of three walls. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.